It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, February 24th. I'm Patricia Naft. Today, lawmakers in the Colorado House are scheduled to debate whether terminally ill patients should be allowed to take medication to end their own lives. It's the first chance for members of the full House to weigh in on the controversial topic. As Benta Berkland reports, supporters are still counting votes.
It's the second straight year for two Democratic lawmakers to sponsor the end-of-life bill, but last session it didn't clear its first committee. Lawmakers in both parties have strong opinions on it. Speaker of the House Dickie Lee Hollinghorst of Boulder backs the measure. She says she personally witnessed her friend die from ALS, known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
There needed to be a more humane way for my dear friend to die. I see a real need for this, but I think it needs a lot of discussion.
The end-of-life options bill would apply to patients with a diagnosis of less than 6 months to live. Two physicians would need to approve the life-ending medicine, and the patient must be mentally competent to make the decision and administer the drug. But Hollinghorst says her support doesn't reflect the views of the entire Democratic House caucus.
And it isn't something that is a caucus priority or a caucus issue. I think we'll all deal with this. Relative to our conscience, there are people who are genuinely undecided.
But not Democratic Representative Ed Vigil of Alamosa. He says he's voting no, also because of his personal beliefs.
Life is a struggle. Life's never easy. Not even death is easy. And I don't think I want to be equal to a cat, a dog, a horse, anything like that. You know, I don't want to be put down.
Vigil, who is Catholic and took the deciding vote early in his career on a bill that would have abolished the death penalty in Colorado, says life should be experienced from birth until death.
It's humbling, it's terrifying, it's beautiful, all in one way, you know. Seeing both life and death, my parents, some aunts and uncles, it's getting there is the hard part.
Others are holding their votes closer to the vest. And while Republicans largely oppose the measure, the Democratic sponsor says she does have some members of the GOP who plan to back it. Should the bill pass the House, it faces almost certain defeat in the Republican-controlled Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Police in Montrose will be cracking down on coal rollers. KVNF's Laura Pomisano explains.
Rolling coal occurs when a vehicle with a modified exhaust quickly accelerates in order to spew out a black cloud of smoke. Montrose Police Chief Thomas Chin says over the past several months, the department has received numerous complaints from residents about diesel trucks doing this.
That modification is a violation of law, and it's a violation of Colorado state law.
He says that smoke is also bad for people's health. Recently, Montrose police and sheriff deputies, along with some state patrol officers, attended a training that certified them to visually inspect and ticket diesel smoke violators. Those cited for this have to appear in court and could face a small fine. On Tuesday, the police department wrote on its Facebook that it would issue these citations, and the post generated controversy. Chin says he hopes increased awareness and stepped-up enforcement will dissuade drivers from rolling coal. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Ambulance districts on the western slope are struggling to stay afloat. One of them will be asking voters for help. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Olathe Fire Protection District is in a financially difficult spot. In addition to fire protection, they also provide ambulance services. Costs have gone up for just about everything that they do, but Christine Gray, the district's secretary treasurer, says that their revenues they bring in have been cramped by the increase in the number of people insured through Medicare and Medicaid.
Unfortunately, these two insurers limit the amount that they pay for services. And right now, we're collecting about 50 cents on the dollar.
So, to cover the shortfall, the district will ask voters this May for an increase in property taxes.
We will be looking for a 3 mil increase, which will result in about $164,000 additional revenue for the district, a $100,000 residential assessed value of property that equals to about $24 per year increase in property taxes.
The revenue from that increase, if approved, would cover the shortfalls and allow them to reinstate programs and staff cuts that they've made. She says that they've already cut everything non-essential, and that if the mill levy increase does not pass, it will be difficult to retain the semi-volunteer staff. She says that the training is extensive and costly, and that they have to leave their jobs to answer emergency calls.
They need some compensation for that, for their time. So if we have to cut back on wages, we will more than likely lose our certified personnel. And when we lose our certified personnel, there really is nothing left to offer. So there probably will not be an ambulance service.
The mail-in ballot will go out to everyone in the Olathe Fire Protection District, about 92 square miles in Montrose County. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
State lawmakers are once again debating whether to allow Colorado residents to use rain barrels to collect rainwater that falls from their roofs. As Benta Berkland reports, the bill cleared its first committee at the state capitol on Monday.
Colorado is the only state where it's illegal to capture rainwater for use at a later time. Democratic Representative Jesse Danielson of Wheat Ridge is one of the main sponsors of House Bill 1005. It would allow people to collect up to 110 gallons each year.
This is a really straightforward bill. You could use that water when you see fit for your tomato plants and your flower gardens.
Supporters say another goal is to educate people about water and how to conserve it. Drew Beckwith is with the environmental group Western Resource Advocates.
Someone with a rain barrel begins to pay attention to how often it rains. They begin to understand how much water it takes to water their grass. It makes visible what is invisible for a lot of people.
Water experts, including James Eklund, say that educational component is key. Eklund heads the Colorado Water Conservation Board and spearheaded Colorado's first ever statewide water plan. He says not having rain barrels hurts the state's brand.
For Colorado to lead the nation in innovative water management, technology, and policy, we need to have a better story to tell than the one we have right now. The bottom line is we've got to move on beyond this subject.
Last year, a similar bipartisan measure failed on the final day of the legislative session. Over the summer, an interim committee of lawmakers studied the issue, and water experts from Colorado State University modeled the potential impact to downstream users. They found that there would be no impact from rain barrels. But Jim Yon says not so fast.
And the reason that this model doesn't show that is because it wasn't intended to show it.
Yon is an engineer and manages the Sterling and Pruitt reservoirs in the northeastern part of the state. He believes the model isn't accurate when it says that rain would otherwise be absorbed in a person's yard. He thinks rain barrels prevent some water from flowing out of the yard and to other water users.
So downstream of Denver, there's 200 miles of river. We're not anti-rain barrel. We're anti the misuse of the prior appropriation system.
Republican Representative John Becker of Fort Morgan says there's a reason a lot of members from the agriculture community aren't behind it.
Water in my area is not taken lightly. This is serious to the point where we argue all the time amongst ourselves on how this works and if there's going to be damage and how we get that taken care of. This is not something I want to be against.
But at this point, Becker says he does have to vote no, especially after his amendment didn't make it on the bill. It would have given recourse to people potentially harmed by rain barrels. The measure passed the committee on a 10-2 vote. It now heads to the full House floor for further debate. Last year, it passed the House but failed in the Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.